Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Department of Higher Education here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, specifically higher education at one of the great institutes of technology. Which one is that? The Massachusetts Institute of Technology. You know how you have to fill out a course evaluation thing they ask you for?
They never asked me my opinion.
They never asked me either. This must be a new thing.
No.
Because no one
I don't think it's new.
I think they they didn't want to know.
There were some from whom they wanted no opinion.
They didn't want my opinion.
Yeah.
Well, they asked the opinion of some people now, and here are some of the choice comments that people made about classes at MIT specifically. And you may recognize this from whatever school you go to. Here's one. Have you ever fallen asleep in class and awoke in another class? That's the way I felt all term. I'll just give you a few of these. Here's one. I would sit in class and stare out the window at the squirrels. They got a cool nest in that tree out there. The TA, the teaching assistant,
yes.
We call them TAs. The TA improved steadily throughout the course. I think he started drinking and it really loosened him up. The quality of the text? I think the text was written on very high quality paper. And my favorite, this course was very thorough. What wasn't covered in class was covered on the final exam. And now that's a classic.
Well, you know, I do remember taking a few final exams where I actually had to get out of my seat.
And check to see if you were in the right
room. And check the room number.
Exactly.
I mean, I was at a disadvantage for most of them. I didn't recognize anyone in the final exam because I seldom went to class.
That's right.
Can you count on one hand how many final exams you went to and said, geez, that was pretty easy?
On one hand? I can count on one finger.
Yeah.
You know, that was true of all the math courses, but none other.
And some of the courses which you thought were going to be easy.
Oh, you wondered if you were in the right room.
Were brutal. Like music.
Well, you know what? I took one semester of French, and I got a D. And I never made a mistake on any exam that didn't have to do with the placement
of the
or non-placement of an accent mark.
Yeah.
I never got anything wrong. Every grammatical thing, 100%
right. Because French is one of those languages where...
And Professor Bottiglia, I'll never forget that bum.
If you have an accent, you change the meaning from, like, heaven to goat. You know, and... You know,
I suppose it was important, but I remember saying to Professor Bottiglia, but... You mean to tell me that I'm practically flunking this course only on the basis of accent marks? Because don't forget, I said, if I was speaking to someone rather than writing it down, you wouldn't know if I were putting the accent marks in the wrong place.
He said, you're a moron, get out of my... Yeah. Well, I'm glad you've been able to put that behind you. What was that, like 45 years ago?
50.
Well, look, if you'd like to send us a nasty evaluation... Get in line, but if you have a question about your car, we'll happily take your call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Tracy Wickheiser, and I'm calling from Oxford, Ohio.
Tracy from Oxford.
Is there an E in your Tracy or not?
No E.
I didn't write it with an O E.
You're so intuitive.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't it?
Where'd you say you were from? I wasn't listening.
Oxford, Ohio. It's near Cincinnati.
Oxford, Ohio. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Got it.
My question is, I drive a Ford Crown Victoria, it's a 1988, and I'm having some problems with the heat on it. When I go to use the heater, the temperature never gets like above like a lukewarm, and so my dad, who is a mechanic, suggested that I try the air conditioner and see what happens when I put the temperature on hot and turn on the air conditioner, and it gets warm, but it never gets hot. And like the interesting twist of the story is that my cousin has a 87 car, the same model and everything, and she has taken it into a repair shop, and like they can't seem to find a solution for her either. So both of us are rather cold and looking for a solution.
Wow. I would move further south.
Where's Oxford again?
It's near
Cincinnati.
Oh, that's what I thought.
That's way too far north.
Does your car have climate control?
No.
No, uh-huh. Okay.
And you just put on for heat and you push a button or pull a lever or something and,
right.
you get heat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, if you don't have enough heat, you're probably not making enough heat.
There you go.
That's one possibility.
It could be.
Another possibility is you're making enough heat, but it ain't getting where it's supposed to go.
Yeah, it could be that, too.
Could be the thermostat.
Could be
as simple as that.
Dad must have changed that, though, right?
No.
I'm not sure, actually. He's a mechanic. That's what he does for a living. But
An automobile mechanic?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
No. I guess this is his way of telling you he doesn't really like you. Because
and he doesn't like your cousin either. And that goes for your cousin too.
Yeah, I mean, I would think I would try the thermostat for sure as
okay.
number one possibility because it's cheap and it's easy. But it's easy to verify that the thermostat is working. All they've got to do is put a thermometer in the radiator.
Okay.
And if the temperature isn't going up beyond 165 or 170, then the thermostat is either stuck open or opening too soon.
Okay.
And if that's the case, you put a new one in, and voila, it's fixed.
But okay. Let's assume that he did that, because...
He would have done it.
How would you not do it?
Okay.
Now what?
Well, then I assume that the heater core could be plugged, or the heater control valve...
I like the valve idea.
Could be malfunctioning.
Yeah, I think it's the valve.
I think so, too.
Is this something that goes out commonly, like that my cousin and I would both have the same problem?
It could be.
Okay.
So I would ask Dad to check that. Does he like your cousin better than he likes you?
No.
Does he work on your cousin's car, too?
No.
So that's what you need to look at.
That would be number two.
First, the heater control valve, and if both of those things are working, then the heater core could be plugged up and preventing the circulation of the coolant, which would, of course, prevent the heat.
Okay.
But one of those things is going to fix it, I'm sure.
Okay.
Good luck, Tracy.
Good luck.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys, this is John from San Francisco.
John?
Hello, John.
How are you?
We're doing well. How are you?
Good.
I am doing terrific.
Great.
What can we do for you today?
Okay, I have a 1989 Ferrari 328 GTS.
Oh.
And I bought this car because the guy that sold it to me told me that it was cheap and reliable transportation.
Did he have any bridges that he was selling?
Most of the time, I'm a happy and well-adjusted owner. However, I've had this problem now for about 2 years that just does not go away. The issue is this. The car works fine when it's going forward. It works fine when it's stopping. The problem comes when I try and put it into reverse. About 25% of the time, if you try and engage reverse with the car at a complete stop, the gear goes in with this horrible crunch. It's as if you were trying to engage reverse with the car moving.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You look like a real plonker.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to look suave. Well, look at the bright side. In the 2 years, it hasn't gotten worse.
No, that's true. Yep.
That's good.
That is good, yeah.
What it means is that you have no more teeth on that synchronizer to grind off. You've ground every one of them off.
And I just want you to know, this is about the only Ferrari question that we would have had a snowball's chance of answering.
Yeah, so lucky you.
Lucky you.
Lucky me.
If you had said anything else, like if you asked us, like, is the engine in the back or in the front, we wouldn't have known.
Okay. You know this one. All right. So
what's wrong is that you no longer have a synchronizer left for reverse. Thankfully, the other gears still have their synchronizers.
Right.
And that's why you can shift into those gears without the grinding. I would recommend you could have the transmission rebuilt, which would cost you about 400 million lira. Or is that 400 billion lira? I don't remember.
I think it's billion, but you have to bring the car to Rome.
Yeah. Now, the other possibility is that the clutch is not sufficiently disengaging. When you drive the car, does the clutch engage very close to the floor?
I guess the friction point is maybe two-thirds of the way down, round about where it should be. I mean, the Ferrari mechanic guys, I mean, if you own one of these cars, you enter into a deep and meaningful relationship with a whole bunch of different mechanics.
Yes, does it involve holding hands and candlelight dinners?
That happens before and after.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they claim that pretty much all of the time when they look at the clutch, the friction point is okay.
Do you have any idea how much free play there is in the clutch? When you push it down with your fingers, how far down does it go before
you feel the hydraulic?
Yeah.
Essentially none.
No, I mean, free play.
Well, very, very little. I've never pushed it down with my fingers, but you can't feel any with your feet. Is that an insufficiently...
Yeah, the feet are not sensitive.
Well,
enough.
You might know. I think John has sufficient sensitive. He sounds like a sensitive guy to me.
He does. He's
I'm
very
Australian.
Sensitive.
We are a legendarily sensitive people.
You yes. are. I mean, it's known throughout the world. If you want to find sensitivity.
Right. Drink warm beer. Well, anyway, I have to say that it could easily be that the clutch is not disengaging, and reverse would be the most difficult gear to get into if the clutch weren't disengaging fully. But I'm still going to stick with my original theory that you've ground up the synchronizers.
Okay.
But I would ask them to bleed the clutch first.
Okay.
I think you're in for some huge bucks here.
But, I mean, why else would you own a Ferrari if you weren't prepared for that?
Right. And on some level, you must enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could have bought a Holden and you wouldn't have any trouble like this.
Well, here's the order in which I'd recommend you do things.
Okay.
You ready?
Yep.
I would, if bleeding doesn't help, I would then go ahead and replace the clutch master cylinder.
Right.
And maybe even the slave cylinder, but you can do them separately.
Okay.
If neither one of those helps and you're still embarrassed by this condition and or you have any money left.
Right.
You can go ahead and replace the clutch itself.
Oh!
When that doesn't solve the problem, then you'd have to go ahead and rebuild the transmission. But that's last on the list. But I think before you get to that point, one of several things will have happened. Either you will have solved the problem or run out of money, or an earthquake would have struck and your part of the city would have fallen into the ocean.
Or you would have sold a car.
I will have sold the car. Yeah.
Or you'd build a circular driveway.
See you later, John.
Which would be cheaper, by the way.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck.
Bye. That really was the only question he could have asked us. Maybe about the cooling system, we might have had a shot at something about a Ferrari. Have you ever seen a Ferrari?
Oh, yeah. I go to the auto show every year. I see them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed in all these years they've never offered to let us test drive one.
You're not surprised, though.
Not at all. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Francesca from Chicago.
Francesca. Che bella nome.
Thank you very much.
What's up?
Well, I have a question. Let's say you're driving your car around the city on a very dangerously empty tank of gas.
This is a hypothetical question, and it didn't happen to you or anyone that you know.
No one I know.
Okay, you're driving around in the city on a dangerously low tank of gas. Yeah.
And there's many stoplights on the way from your apartment to the nearest gas station.
I got the question. So, should you shut off the engine when the light turns red?
Well, should you idle and park, or should you idle and drive, engage? And I argued with my boyfriend that we should idle and park because you disengage the engine, and that surely is going to save some gas. But he told me that I was ridiculous, that I was being a girl, didn't know anything about cars, and that right then and there, I just wanted to call you guys and get the answer.
Oh, boy. I don't think you're going to like the answer.
I'm not going to like the answer.
Yeah. I mean, well, the only, I think, I mean, with
well, I have to say, I don't know the answer.
Oh.
When has that ever made a difference?
Well, and I know enough about what the answer is to argue with any answer that my brother gives you. So no matter what it is, I'll be on your side.
Well, here's my answer. It hardly makes a difference.
Oh, that's the only answer there is. That's good.
In other words, the engine is running, let's say, at 900 RPM when it's in park. Mm-hmm. And you'll notice, and this may be the reason for, I don't know who took what position, I forgot. But,
well, the boyfriend took the position that you should idle in drive.
Oh, okay.
Probably because it's idling slower.
But the only reason it's idling slower is that you've engaged the transmission.
Mm-hmm.
And the RPM drops down because now the transmission, all the gears and the fluid and all that stuff that's in there is moving around. And it's dropping the idle speed down to maybe 600 or 700. But that doesn't mean it's using any less gas.
No.
Mm.
So, that's the answer, that it hardly makes a difference.
Yeah, it's, you know, the correct thing to do, I would think, if you're really concerned, is
go through the light.
Right.
You don't stop for those pesky red lights, do you?
If you shut the engine off.
Turn it off completely?
I would turn it off, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yes, absolutely.
Are you crazy?
Especially in a modern car. Modern...
Who said she didn't tell us it's a modern car?
It is.
How old a car is it?
It's a 2000 Nissan Sentra.
Oh.
It's a modern car.
Then my brother's right.
Yeah, the best thing to do is to when you get to a light, mm-hmm. put it in park or neutral, whatever it takes, mm-hmm. and shut the key off.
It doesn't take more gas to turn the engine?
No.
Key. No?
No.
As long as you don't start it up and go vroom.
No, in fact, in this car, you don't have to touch the gas at all.
Don't touch the gas pedal at all and just start it.
Oh.
So this is something you guys do all the time?
No. I was just having a very hard week and being a little on the lazy side, so I had been driving my car around on an empty tank for a very long time.
Oh.
Well, to answer your question, you can bury the hatchet.
Okay.
Because it hardly matters.
Hardly matters.
Well, I hope you have a better week this week.
Okay.
Thanks
Thank
for your
you.
Call, Francesca.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, look, it's time for us to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll have the answer to last week's puzzler.
Oh, the cylindrical puzzler.
How did you remember that?
You really want to know?
Yeah, I really want to know.
I picked at your notes when you went to get coffee.
You cheated, you bum. I knew it. That makes sense. All right, look, we'll be back with the answer to last week's lower mathematics puzzler and more of your car questions right after this short break.
So please stay tuned.
Step on the gas and my car won't go. Step on the gas and my car won't go. Pick up my baby, she's waiting by the door. Gotta pick up my baby, she's waiting by the door. Gotta pick up my baby, she's waiting by the door. I don't pick up my baby, she'll find herself on the floor. But I'm down on my luck, got them car won't go blues. Down on my luck, got them car won't go blues.
And even though Hu Jintao starts selling off U.S. assets whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a prison warden and need to send inmates running back to their cells.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler.
Not and. And.
Oh, and. And the answer to last week's puzzler.
Yeah. It was about measuring the volume in a cylinder.
You got it, man. And this was sent in by an anonymous physicist who clearly doesn't want any of his colleagues to know that he listens to Car Talk.
Can you blame him?
Absolutely not. Anyway, I'll read what he wrote.
Go ahead.
He says, you recently entertained a caller who wanted to know how to measure the fuel level in the cylindrical tank of his diesel truck.
Oh, I remember.
I guess his fuel gauge was broken and he was planning to use a stick. Mm. And specifically, the caller wanted to know if he inserted a broomstick through the tank's filler opening, where on the stick should he put the quarter full mark? Because that's when he needed to refuel, of course,
yeah.
Right? And when he called, he also told us that his tank was 20 inches in diameter. And while he knew that the half-full mark was clearly at 10 inches, he was doubtful that the quarter-full mark was at 5 inches.
Yeah.
Now, our anonymous physicist goes on to say, you two bozos agreed with that and for a few minutes fumbled around for an answer until you finally admitted that an accurate answer would require more than the 8th grade mathematics at your immediate disposal. Well, a few weeks ago, my wife and I stopped at a rest stop diner off the highway. While we sat at the counter, I told my wife the story of your mathematical misadventure, and a fellow sitting a few stools down the counter appeared to be listening intently. Excuse me, he interrupted. I happen to be a diesel truck driver myself, and while I don't remember much beyond 8th grade math either, I think I may have something in my truck that might help us find the answer.
Oh.
You do? Yeah, I do. It's something that came with last night's dinner.
Last night's dinner?
Yeah. Well, with that, he sprang from his seat and 2 minutes later returned with a rather large box in his hand. He then produced a jackknife from his belt, asked our waitress for a pencil, and with a surgeon's precision, he got to work. The question is, what did he do? What did he do to determine where the quarter full mark should be on the stick.
Wow. I can't wait to find out the answer to
this
thing.
Fortunately, you don't have to wait very long because this is the part of the show where we give the answer.
Hey, great.
And here's what he did. You ready for this?
I am ready.
What he had brought in was a pizza box. Okay?
A pizza box.
Pizza box. And inside the pizza box was a circular piece of cardboard that last night's dinner had once rested upon. You know, sometimes you open the pizza box, pizza's in there, underneath is that circular piece of cardboard. Now, using 10th grade geometry, now, I had this geometry in 10th grade. I'm not sure that Tommy did, because when he was in 10th grade, I think Euclid was still putting the finishing touches on most of his theories, but I'm not sure. Anyway, using 10th grade geometry, he draws two chords on that cardboard, that circular piece of cardboard, and finds the center of the circle. And using the straight edge of the pizza box, he draws a diameter on the cardboard circle. You with me so far?
I'm with you.
Using one of the 90-degree corners of the box, he draws a radius perpendicular to that diameter. You with me?
I'm with you.
Circle, diameter, and a radius, okay?
Yeah.
He carefully, with his jackknife, cuts the circle in half along that diameter that he's drawn.
Yeah.
And discards the piece without the radius drawn on it.
So he's got half of the thing now.
He's got a semicircle.
Right.
Okay, he's got a semicircle with a radius drawn on it.
Yeah.
You with me?
You got it.
Now, if he takes the remaining piece and stands it up, kind of like a slice of watermelon, right? He stands it up on the table. That radius is perpendicular to the tabletop. And this piece of cardboard being held on edge like this represents a cross-section, ready for this, of the fuel in the lower half of the fuel tank, right?
Correct. Right? Yeah, I see it. I can see it.
Right? And we'll put this on the website so that everyone can see it, okay? And you would agree now that somewhere along that radius line, that line that's perpendicular to the table, is the point that represents the quarter full mark that we're looking for.
Yeah.
Right? Of course it does.
Somewhere.
Somewhere on there. And we know it ain't the midpoint.
No, it's not in the midpoint, because at the bottom it's smaller than it is at the top.
Exactly. The thing curves, all right? So are you ready for the answer, how the truck driver figured it out?
I'm working on it right now.
Well, you don't have to work on it too long. He takes his pencil.
Yeah.
Okay? In one hand, with the sharpened end pointing up toward the sky. Okay?
Yeah.
And he uses trial and error, not much of it really, not much trial and error, to find the point along that radius that will balance that piece of cardboard, like you would balance a dinner plate on a fingertip. And when he does that, he has found the center of mass.
Of course.
Of that piece of cardboard.
Get out.
If it's the center of mass of that piece of cardboard, it's going to be the center of mass of the gasoline that's in the tank. So half the fuel is going to be below that mark, and half the fuel is going to be above it. So he's found the quarter full mark by finding the center of mass of that piece of cardboard. And it turns out to be about 40% of the distance from the center of the circle is where the pencil would balance that thing. Pretty neat, eh?
Wow, that is pretty neat.
Yeah, so do we have a winner?
The winner this week is Denise Webb from Honolulu, Hawaii.
Impossible.
Oh, sure. Rub it in, Denise. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Denise is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division, with which she can get one of our new kids' shirts.
Yes, available in little kids' sizes. It says, "Help, my parents make me listen to Car Talk."
That's cruel.
Anyway, we have a brand new puzzler from the wonderful world of transportation and ancient history and folklore and...
Ancient history. How ancient?
Oh, ancient, man. Anyway, that'll be coming up in the
third... the 30s or 40s?
Yeah, the 30s. The 0030. Anyway, that'll be coming up in the third half of the show. So stick around. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
I can't give you my real name, so I'll use my incognito name.
Sorry, yeah. we don't use our real names either.
So my name is Brigitte.
Brigitte.
Well, you've certainly got an imagination.
Can you tell us how to spell Brigitte?
No.
Brigitte.
How would she know how to spell it?
just make yourself sound
just
fresh.
She heard it this morning.
Okay.
And I can't tell you exactly where I live, but I'm about 4 hours outside of Anchorage, Alaska.
Okay.
Oh.
And my thing is, I'm an airline pilot, and I'm with a major airline, and they transferred me to San Francisco. And I've looked at the housing costs in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
and I've decided that I can't afford it. So I'm going to live in the employee parking lot at the San Francisco airport. So I've narrowed down my new housing to Westphalia, VW Westphalia.
Yes.
But I really like the Synchro.
The all-wheel drive wagon?
The four-wheel drive camper bus that they made between 86 and 91.
Yeah.
And it has a following. There's a lot of Synchro heads out there. In fact, they have Synchro de Mayo, where they bring all these things out from the bottom desert and stuff like this. And
see, all that sun does have an effect on people's brains.
It does, and it's just really cool, but it's expensive, and I hear it's really high in maintenance. But I heard they're both kind of high in maintenance, the Westphalia and the Synchro.
But,
and I was just wondering what you guys knew about it.
You're going to sleep in this thing with the traffic going by in the parking lot and noises all day.
The planes taking
night,
off
planes
overhead.
Taking off.
You won't be able to get a good night's sleep. Then you got to get
and
up early in the,
get
morning
up in the morning
and fly somebody to Hong Kong.
The good thing is that I can take it away from the San Francisco airport and go up into like Napa and the coast and stuff like that between trips. And I would still be living in Alaska when I get a large chunk of time off. But
wait, I thought you airline pilots made big bucks.
Well, I don't know. Things have changed a little bit if you've heard the news.
Yeah.
And we kind of have a joke in the industry, which is, what's the difference between an airline pilot and a pizza?
I don't know. I'll bite.
Pizza can feed a family of four.
Wow.
That's very good.
Things aren't as good as they used to be. And, you know, you can't buy a house in the Bay Area for under $700,000.
Yeah.
Well, you don't need all-wheel drive, but if you're going to drive the thing up to Alaska and you're going to drive it in the mountains and whatever when you're not on duty, then maybe you do need all-wheel drive.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of thinking, but I hear they're really expensive and really high to maintain, which will kind of defeat the purpose of trying to save money.
Yeah, no, and we agree. It is really high, but if you're going to you're going to be hanging out with all these synchro heads.
Which
that'll
is
be
true.
Fun.
Right?
And they'll all have access to spare parts.
I think so.
If you find them.
You know you're going to find them, first and foremost, at the Burning Man thing this summer.
The Burning Man
of
thing.
Course.
Very good. I didn't know you guys on the East Coast knew about Burning Man.
Of course we do.
Of course. You're going to go to the Burning Man Festival website, and you're going to find out where all the synchro nuts are going to be, and you're gonna find them there.
True. And I've also thought, like, you know, if I was filthy rich, I would just get, what is it, a Dunbar?
What's that?
Is that what's the vehicle that Brinks uses?
Oh, a Dunbar, yeah.
Yeah, because I heard somebody's making them into RVs, and they come with gun turrets. Which I think would be great to drive around California.
Do you have issues that we don't know about?
I'll try to be good.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in love with this idea,
mm-hmm.
and we know you are.
I think it's a good idea.
Well, see, I do. I mean, I already rented a storage facility right by the airport, so my bikes are there and my backpacks are there and stuff like that. So when I land, I just go get my fun stuff and go have fun, like up in Napa or down the coast.
Do you have a tattoo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I had a good feeling about this because I wanted to do the same thing once because I had no money. And I wanted to buy one of these little things and just park it in some empty lot somewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah, they call that vagrancy.
Now, as long as it's not a shopping cart.
Yeah, exactly. And everyone laughed at me and told me I was crazy. But I have to say, I came very, very close to doing it.
Especially those gentlemen with the white lab coats. Yeah, well.
So I think it's a great idea, Brigitte.
Okay.
Well, I admire your freedom here.
Yeah.
The fact that you are not bound by convention and you don't think you have to have your three-bedroom condo in San Francisco.
Or a bathroom at all.
Or a bathroom at all. I mean, look, you go into any airport, there's hundreds of bathrooms, right?
The pickup line in Alaska is, hey, babe, I got running water.
So you imagine yourself going back and forth to Alaska pretty regularly, too. With
this
thing.
I'll be coming home to Alaska as much as I can.
And you'll be driving to Alaska, you think?
No, I'm just going to keep it in the Bay Area and, like I said, live in it when I'm between my trips.
Because you ain't going to make it to Alaska. No, really. No, I'd advise against that.
And you don't really need the four-wheel drive.
I know, but that's so cool.
No, if that's what counts.
If that's what counts, then that's what you have to do.
It'll be fun, and I'm just hoping that I'm not going to spend too much money on the camper van.
And if you do, you ditch it, and you'll have spent a little money. You'll get some money back when you sell it, and you'll come to when you come to your senses. I mean, when you change your mind, and
that's true.
And you'll buy a condo someplace. But in the meantime, enjoy your Westphalia Synchro.
Okay,
live
absolutely.
It up, and we'll see you at the Burning Man Festival. See you, Brigitte.
I'll say, where do you live? Bye. And you'll say, I live at the airport.
There you go.
They'll think you live in the hotel at the airport. Little do they know, you live in the parking lot. Hey, do you happen to know what time it is?
Time to defrost the oil change bay again?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we dig up a caller from a previous show.
I told you, I don't like that dig up. Dig up.
We should change that terminology.
Yeah.
Where we
reconnect.
Try,
reconnect.
We try to reconnect with a caller from a previous show to see if he or she is still speaking to us.
So who are we mending fences with this week?
It's Scott from Klamath Falls, Oregon. Remember what Scott called about?
Yeah, wasn't he the 99 Tahoe that wouldn't shut off?
No, he was the 86 Nissan that wouldn't start. Oh, you were so close.
When I turn the key, all the lights come on, the dash, dome, radio, everything works, but the engine doesn't make a sound. It doesn't even make a click as far as I can hear, and it acts like the neutral safety switch is bad, that I hotwired that 100,000 miles ago. So that ain't it.
And
are you 100% sure the battery is okay?
Yeah, I had my friend Fat Tony come over and check the battery.
Fat Tony?
Fat Tony. He brought over his big bucket of tools.
Yeah.
And he had a battery tester. We tested that, and we cleaned the connections. And actually, he leaned in with a crescent wrench and arced between the two poles, and he said, "That ain't the battery."
That's a good way to burn off your eyebrows, by the way.
That's a great test.
Yeah.
Don't ever stand near Fat Tony.
He might be fat fried Tony.
Oh, I mean, seriously, you can blow up the battery doing that.
Well, I don't think he meant to do it.
Well, what kind of tools does Fat Tony have? Does he have an ammeter?
He comes in with a hammer, a crescent wrench, and something I've seen in a logging museum.
Fat Tony must work at Paul Bunyan Transmissions.
Anyway, what did we tell Scott about his Nissan pickup?
We told him to put in a new starter motor and keep Fat Tony away from his truck.
Oh, I remember that. Okay, let's
but I'm
see.
Not
let's
convinced see. That his battery's let's, okay.
Well, not if the
not
Fat...
Not based on that little
not
piece
Not if
of,
the Fat Tony was playing with. Let's see what happens. Scott, are you there?
Hello.
Hey.
Look, before we find out what happened, we need to confirm that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
That is true.
And that the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of National Public Radio, or by the double XL set of suede coveralls we sent you for Fat Tony.
It has not.
Okay, great.
So, was it the starter motor?
It wasn't.
No.
It was the starter relay switch.
Oh, really?
And I got to lean forward and expose myself to a dope slap.
Okay.
Why?
When I told you I couldn't hear anything...
You couldn't hear the relay.
What I didn't say is I could feel it. I could feel it through the key popping.
Really?
Oh.
But I didn't know what it was. And so I bet if I gave you that information, you probably would have come up with the
no,
right.
No, we wouldn't.
Probably not. No.
No, we
no,
would
we're
not
still
have.
Working on the 99 Tahoe that it wouldn't shut off. But so you put this thing in, it cost you about $8 at the dealer, right?
Yeah, I think $12.
$9.95, yeah.
$12. And did Fat Tony figure this out?
Actually, Fat Tony had his hand on it when I tried to turn it over, and it popped, so he was the one who felt it.
Ah.
And he said, hey, what's this thing? Whatever it is. Actually, there are several relays in there that are the same, and you may have discovered that you can swap them around.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, next time it happens, if it ever does, you can find a relay that's just like the one you replaced and substitute
and
it.
At least you'll get started.
Hey, that's cool.
Nothing else in the car will work.
Right, the headlights won't work and the wipers won't work, but the engine will run.
But that's all right.
Well, I'm glad your Tahoe is up and running again.
Well,
Nissan,
thank you.
Whatever it is. And thanks for playing Stump the Chump, Scott.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com, if you would.
Okay, look, my new digital watch tells me that it's time for us to take a break.
What time is it?
I don't know. It's still flashing 0021. I haven't figured out how to set it yet.
We'll be back with a brand new puzzler in just a minute.
Chevy truck, summer heat, no AC. And I can still smell her perfume on me. I could have used a few more hours of sleep. Sleep's become a luxury. I'm driving. I'm driving. What's driving me?
And even though NPR's general counsel increases the limit on the network's malpractice insurance whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and, of course, the new Puzzler. And I think I mentioned this came from a wonderful world of ancient history.
Ancient history.
Transportation and all that. And
yeah, yeah.
Here it is. You ready?
Yeah.
I wrote this on the back of a...
Oh, that's good. That's nice. I like it.
An envelope. Try not to make too much noise here. Some time ago, a team of British archaeologists came upon some ancient Roman ruins, and among them a stone quarry, a nearby fortress or outpost of some kind, and also what appeared to be a small town, you know, or a settlement, you know, some houses, maybe some livestock pens, a place to store grain, etc. And all of these things were connected by roads, those famous stone roads that the Romans built. In fact, they probably obtained the stones for the roads from that very quarry that they discovered.
Gotcha.
Anyway, after some careful observation, these archaeologists determined that the Romans drove their carts and wagons and probably chariots, too, on the left side of the road, just like the Brits do.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
How did they know this?
How did they know this? The signs that were up.
Well,
left.
Right. Keep us leftist, Brutus. So if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a Bridgeport Turret Mill BR2J milling machine with vary speed option, quill feed, and splash tray.
Really?
Well, we need one at the shop. And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt02238, or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
Right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, the number to call is, are you ready?
Yeah.
888-CAR-TALK, which is also 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Pretty proud of yourself. You didn't screw it up, huh?
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. It's Laura calling from Nashville, Tennessee.
Hi, Laura. What's cooking?
Nashville.
Yes, Nashville. Music City, USA.
Music City.
You know, I've never been there. It's got to be one of the places on my list, though.
You got to come. It's good times.
Yeah. No, I hear it's a fun place.
Yeah, it's a little different from Boston, but...
I'm sure.
But anyway, so I've got this problem with my Saturn that I was hoping you could help me with.
Yeah.
It's a 96 Saturn SW2. And when I try to accelerate, sometimes my accelerator sticks.
Oh.
And it doesn't stick down, which is a good thing.
Right.
But it's just when I'm trying to get it going, I have to give it a little tap.
Right. It's stuck in the up position.
Yeah.
Yeah. And once you get past that, it's okay.
It's fine.
Yes.
Yeah.
How long has it been doing that?
It's been doing it for as long as I've had the car, which is a year and a half.
Oh. This is why the other person got rid of it.
Yeah. It may be.
And if you come to a stop light, for example, and you step on the brake, then when you start to go again, it's stuck again?
Yes.
Yeah.
But if I'm on the highway and I take my foot off the accelerator and then put it back on, it doesn't.
And once I'm sure the car is completely warmed up, it probably stops doing it too.
No, it still does it. When
I knew that.
Up.
I was just testing it.
No, it still does it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is relatively easy to fix.
Okay. Yeah, this is a very common problem, not just on Saturns, but lots of cars. It's carbon buildup in the throttle body.
Okay.
And the throttle body is the area that houses the throttle plate, which is attached to your gas pedal, so that when you step on the pedal inside, it opens this throttle to make the car go faster. And then when it closes, there's so much crud in there, or carbon buildup, that it's sticking on that.
Okay.
So what you need to do is have somebody take that thing apart and clean it.
Oh.
In some rare cases, if it's worn a big groove in the housing of that throttle body, you may need to replace that thing.
All right, well, how do I get that clean? Is that going to be expensive? Or?
No, no. You take it to the filling station and you tell them you need your throttle body cleaned. Well, your car needs its throttle body cleaned. Maybe that'll be a better thing to ask for.
Okay.
And if they don't know what you're talking about, just keep driving until you find someone who does.
I mean, you could almost do this yourself.
All right.
But you don't want to.
Not particularly.
No, you'll breathe fumes, and you want to relegate this to the guys who already are down to the single-digit brain cells.
But women don't like to get messy.
Oh, I don't think that's true.
No, it's not true at all,
no,
really.
No, it's not.
But we don't like playing with cars.
Well, you should try it. It's a heck of a lot of fun.
It really would
really?
Be. Really? Yeah.
Well, here's what you do. You're going to watch whoever does this, and then the next time it happens, you'll be armed with all the information you need to do it yourself.
Okay.
And save 30 or 40 bucks or whatever.
And be a throttle body cleaning expert.
And you can advertise
exactly.
In the paper for hire. Throttle body cleaning expert.
Yeah.
Call Laura.
Well, I've always wanted to, have a specialty. So.
Well, you may have one.
There you go.
See you, Laura.
Good
bye.
Luck.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Sarah from Los Angeles.
Is that without an H?
It's with an H, thank you.
Whoa.
Let me tell you my sob story.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, I got a new job, which is a good thing. They asked me to start the new job about 3 days later. I said, that's fine. That'll give me time to get my car fixed. My car was a 850 Volvo station wagon. I decided to take it to the dealer for the 60,000-mile service.
Oh.
Well, $1,376.26 later, I pick up my car. Get on the freeway. I'm on the freeway for about 5 miles, and the check engine light starts to flash. The car then starts to slow down to 30 miles an hour. I pulled over to the side of the road, and as soon as I'm pulled over, black smoke starts coming out of the hood. The smoke starts coming into the car through the dashboard. At this point, I decide to get out of the car. Good thinking. I grabbed the invoice from the dealer.
Oh, that was good thinking, too.
Boy, that was really good thinking.
Yep.
You left your pocketbook in the car, right? Who needs the money
right,
in the
three kids?
Get the slip.
So I grabbed three things, my purse, the invoice, and my cell phone. I'm about 10 feet behind the car, and the car bursts into flames.
How
oh
sweet it is.
God, really?
Yeah. Now, the car is totaled. So my question is, I have the invoice, and I want to know what these bozos did to my car.
Well, seeing you had the good sense to save the slip, what did they do for $1,376.26?
We'll see if one of those things could have done it.
Okay, they replaced the timing belt, the front brakes, the right outer CV boot, a spark plug kit, a filter insert, brake fluid, washer solvent, TTING additive, gasket, fuel filter, gasket, oil filter, antifreeze gasket, flame shield.
Oh, that's it.
That isn't it.
Sounds good.
That's good. $6.
Boy, that's a short list for a big total.
I know. Well, it was $1,000 in labor, and then they replaced one light bulb.
$1,000 in labor at $60 an hour, and it was there for 2 days, right?
It was there for a day.
A day, which is 8 hours.
That's 20 hours.
That's $480 labor.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, huh?
They gave me a 10% discount.
Well, sure, because they overcharged you by 150%.
Right.
Oh, and I should say, when I was exiting the car, there was a clear fluid bubbling up from the hood.
Well, of course, the thing was on fire.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the incident.
Okay.
The smoke.
It was dark gray to black. It wasn't white.
But it was dark black smoke.
Well, I can tell you from all the cars that I've ever set on fire that it's never been our fault.
Of course not.
No, I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
It's never been our fault. From that very first Buick, that 62 Buick, we had a car on the lift.
They actually accepted complete liability.
Of course they would, because they have insurance for it. So
right.
They're going to give you another car.
They're going to give me replacement value, which isn't, I don't think, fair.
Well, you want replacement value, plus you want your $1,376.26 back.
Yep.
Yeah, well, that's about all you can expect in this life.
Yeah, well.
See, it's hard to think about what they could have done, although the coincidence just seems to be too much, doesn't it?
Oh, I mean, they could have pinched a wire. They could have done any number of things. And that's why whenever we burn a car up, we always go in with the forensics team after it. I think the most likely candidate is they changed the timing belt.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
That's probably the most likely candidate. They could have somehow or another moved one of the wires for the alternator.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe taken the alternator out and forgotten to hook the wire back up. That's the most likely place for a fire to start.
Okay.
Yeah. They probably did something, but you'll never get any more money from them than they're offering you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're doing well that they're not fighting you.
I like the alternator. I like the alternator.
I like my car more than the alternator. Every time I see a Volvo station wagon on the road, my heart leaps a little.
When they give you the check, you just want to go back there, maybe, and buy another Volvo.
Oh, I'm not giving them any of my money.
Well, why not? I mean, I have to say that what they've done is quite gentlemanly. They could have said, prove it. You'd be hard-pressed to prove it. So I think you should trust these guys. I like them.
I don't know.
Or they burn up a car a day. That's the other possibility, isn't it?
But you have insurance of your own. Didn't you have fire and theft?
Oh, yeah. I've been on the phone with insurance agents, lawyers.
Well, why don't you try to collect from both? get two checks.
I wish.
Yeah, you can buy a 2002.
Good luck, Sarah. I think you've done about as well as you can do, and I think they did the right thing by just accepting responsibility, whether, in fact, it was theirs or not. Probably it was.
Yeah.
It probably was.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, see
you. Okay, bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Doug from Ithaca, New York.
Oh, we don't speak to anyone named Doug.
Anymore.
What's up?
All right, here's my scoop.
Yeah.
I'm happily married, been married a long time. And my wife, she drives a van, and I drive a Volkswagen, a 1989 Volkswagen Golf with a manual transmission. Mm-hmm. Now, my wife cannot drive a stick shift, so she can't drive my car. And, in fact, since we've known each other, we've never shared a vehicle.
That's the best way.
That's the best way? Well, okay, I'm getting to the point here.
Yeah.
Now, I'm very neat in my car. She is very neat everywhere except in her car. And she can tolerate a lot more mess than I can.
Yeah.
Well, we've discovered over the years that most...
Watch out!
This is merely an observation.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't mean to suggest anything by it, but most women's cars are a mess.
Wait, before he says, I want to distance myself from anything my brother says.
No, it's irrefutable. Most women's cars are a mess inside.
We have grandchildren, little kids who live near us, and so she's always carrying them around. And I'm amazed at the mess that accumulates in there sometimes, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
The little kid stuff. I mean, I don't drive her car very often, but one time I hopped in, and the steering wheel was coated felt like something sticky, like spilled soda. And I found melted ice cream and melted lipstick all over the engine cover.
Uh-huh.
So my question to you guys is, my Volkswagen Golf has... almost 200,000 miles on it.
You want to buy another one? You get two stick shifts if you can.
This is it, man. I mean, my wife suggested, wouldn't it be nice? She said, darling, wouldn't it be nice if the next vehicle had an automatic transmission so that I could help out on the driving on some of the long trips that we take? And that's very sweet of her. But
I just want to say, I'm not going to give you any advice, and whatever you hear is coming from my brother Raymond. Raymond Francis Magliozzi is giving you all of the coming advice. I wouldn't touch that question with a 10-foot pole.
I'll have the courage to tell you, Doug. Get a stick shift. Don't let her near it. She's going to ruin it on you.
That's my inclination. I think that having an automatic would cause us marital stress.
Yeah. Well,
but how are you going to get out of it? What are you going to give her as a reason when you say, no, hon, you're too much of a slob?
No.
Better mileage, more pickup. Oh,
is true.
It's cheaper.
None of which is true.
Well, it's cheaper to buy the stick shift one. It does get the same mileage.
My mental health?
Yeah, no, you're on your own on this one. I will say that. Yeah, because I have a funny feeling I'm sinking in the quicksand. Throw me a rope, will you? Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, my wife recently was I was in her car. She was behind the wheel. And my wife had always had a pretty neat car. And I never really worried whether I drove her car or she drove mine, because she was – not that I'm a neat Nick either, but we were relatively – we were on the same plane,
yeah.
You know. And
I have same slob rating. 2.8.
Well, she is eating a candy bar or some such thing, and she takes the wrapper,
tosses it over her shoulder.
And says, "Power to the people." I said, "What the hell is that all about?"
Power to the people.
She said, "I'm sick of being neat. I figured I was done for. You should see your car now. There's about 4 inches of junk on the floor in the back. So I've given up."
There are some delicate politics involved in this question, I think.
Here's what I would stick with if it were I giving advice, which I'm not giving, by the way.
Yeah,
they don't sell it in automatic anymore, hon.
No, the stick shifting and the manliness aspect.
Right.
You're saying, "Hon, we've been married. I'm an old married guy now, and I've been emasculated in every possible way. The only thing left for my machismo is the stick shift. So I can get in the car and go vroom, 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 and use that thing and shift into all those gears. It's a manly thing. Please don't take this last piece of manliness away from me." Stick with that.
I like it.
Yeah, I would stick with that, too.
Okay, well, I'm going to give that some thought, and maybe that's what I'll do. Who knows?
All right, Doug.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Good luck. He's done for.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher. Fenolosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Emily Mackey and Ariel Niedermeyer. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Belarus Couscous Chocolate Mousse and Chilled Matousse Let Loose, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our parts inventory manager is Wayne DeBack. Our urgent response coordinator is Candace Waite. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is O Tekashawa. Our auto seat tester is Fitz Matush. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our staff tailor is Yu Jass. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Yu Lewis Dewey, known to the pigeons in leg warmers in Harvard Square as Yui Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
And by the way,
yes,
don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1104, pad through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, how to get rid of Madagascar hissing cockroaches.
Or any other form of wildlife that's taken up residence in your car. Now, over the years, we've been asked how to get rid of mice, ants, rats, snakes, crabs, geckos, mud chiggers, and anything else you can imagine. And our advice to the car owner has always been the same.
A fire.
Exactly. But now we have some better advice. We have a genuine wildlife biologist on the site to answer your questions about how to defend your Taurus from termites.
Or your Honda from horseflies.
You can read her advice and ask your own questions this week all over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though hibernating bears wake up and swat at their radios whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.